Hi, Carol Gambule here. Welcome to the Word Anchor Podcast, where we aim to search, find, share, and apply scriptures to life's issues. We will find victory and succeed in life if we are anchored in the Word of God. Please do enjoy this episode. Shalom. Hello there. Thank you for tuning in. This is Word Anchor Podcast. This episode is titled The Good Shepherd. It is based on the Word of God in the book of John chapter 10 verse 10. However, before we read the scripture, I want to say that there are things in life that when we go through them, they are so painful that we ask ourselves, where is God? Where was He when these things happened? When you experience death of a loved one, when you lose a job, when you go through divorce, or whatever thing that is painful and you have prayed for it, you have asked God to intervene. You have asked God to help you, to give you victory over that situation, and you eventually lost it. It is quite easy for us to go back to God and blame Him for it. We see in social media and in preachings and people saying that the will of God is painful. It is where people then say it was the will of God that this thing happens, and therefore it is painful. That thing that God willed for it to happen, it was painful. We are taking a stance of putting everything to God, to a certain extent blaming Him for it. If you lose a loved one you've prayed for, maybe they die of cancer after suffering very painfully, after you've tried everything, the doctors have done everything, and that person dies. Maybe you fasted, like David when he fasted for his son who was born out of his relationship with Bathsheba after he had killed Uriah, and the child died. David fasted, prayed, went to God, petitioned God, asked for God to have mercy on his son, and the child died. And David arose and started eating, and people were wondering, why, when the baby was alive, you were fasting and praying, and now that the baby is dead, you are now eating? And he said, I cannot have a situation where the child comes to me, but I have an opportunity to go to where he is. Therefore, I will live and rejoice until I meet him wherever he has gone to. And that was the approach of David. But then the challenge in life today is, when we go and try to comfort someone who has lost someone whom they love, even a job, whatever thing that is precious to a person, we will come up with scriptures. We will try to console a person and say it was the will of God for this thing to happen. If God did not want it to happen, it would not have happened. We say these things after a person has prayed, after they have asked God for God to assist. If you have prayed for someone who is sick, you cast out the devils, you bind and you cast, you uproot and you destroy, you do all sorts of things, you use the word over that situation, and you still don't get victory. When you are praying, when you are casting out a demon, you are casting out a devil, you are standing against Satan. You are saying, Satan, you shall not take this one. You shall not afflict this one. You're saying, Satan, we do not allow you here. We bind and we cast you out. You do all sorts of things. You are fighting the devil. But when you lose that battle over the devil, you then turn and say it was God. You say, if someone has died, God has chosen the best flower. You're saying God wanted his child back home. You're saying all sorts of things, trying to make it look like it is a beautiful thing that has happened, because then the person is with God. But what we don't realize is that that word actually sets the person against God. It starts a battle between the person who has lost and God. Because you have lost a loved one. It was a very, very, very fierce battle. You prayed, you fasted, you did all these things, and the person died. You are then saying God took the best flower, as if God needed flowers. When the Bible tells us that there is silver and gold, there is gold that is overlaying the streets in heaven. Why would God want a flower from earth when he can overlay heaven with gold? What is the flower before God? We're trying to console a person, but we're actually saying God did this thing and in a very painful way. And this person will start saying, what kind of a God misses a flower on earth and takes my mother and you call that a flower? Why would you want to pit God against God's people? When you were praying for that person to leave, you were casting the devil. You were standing against Satan. And when Satan has hit the flesh so hard that the person dies, you then say it was God. Why would God kill a person in such a painful and horrible way? The Bible says in John 10 verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Praise Jesus. He says, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said these words. He distinguished himself between him and the thief. He says the job of the thief, his full-time job, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the full-time job of Jesus Christ was and is that you and me should have life and have it more abundantly. So when we fight the devil and we lose the battle against the devil, it's not God that has done it. It is the devil that has done it. Because the thing is, the more we accept and accede the defeat of the devil and take it and put that blame on God, it's the less we are prepared to fight the devil. There is no soldier that, unless they are wounded, would stop fighting because the enemy has killed one of their soldiers. It may be that the other soldiers may take that dead soldier back to camp, but the war continues. You don't then put your armor down and say, because this one is killed by the enemy, and then you stop fighting. So we become less angry at the devil, and we become loving to the Father with all tears and everything, and saying, no, it was the will of God, then it is okay because it was the will of God. No, it was the devil that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, child of God. And when he has done it with one person, the next person, he must find us standing and fighting and standing against him. A soldier continues fighting and continues fighting and continues fighting until the battle is won. Yes, you may lose some soldiers along the way, but we are not called to give up the battle and put the blame on God. We will never get used to death. We will never get used to losing to the devil. It leaves us with questions, and especially if it is unexpected death. You may ask yourself, where was God when it happened? Where was God when I was losing my job? Where was God when I attended those sessions and they eventually fired me? Where was he? Where was he when this person that I love was sick until they died? It does not help that the words that we give to someone who has lost something so precious, it's words that put God in a bad light. Sometimes we'll use even the book of Job to misrepresent God and leave a family more wounded and angry at God. Yes, Job lost his wealth, all of it. All his cattle, donkeys, horses, everything that he had. He lost all his children. He lost his own health. Of course, he didn't die, but he lost all of these things. The person that did that is Satan. It is Satan that did that. It is Satan that wanted to prove to God that Job was only serving God because God had put a hedge around Job. But it was not Satan that did that. Yes, you would say God knew it and God gave permission to Satan. But who did that? It's Satan. So when Satan attacks and he wins, it's not God who did it. So we cannot then say God wanted the best flower out of the children of Job, because it was the devil, it was Satan that killed the children of Job. God did not want the best flower. He removed the hedge and Job was exposed. But it was the devil that killed the children of Job. And today there are people that will not go to church because church told them that their loved one were taken by God because God missed their loved ones. Didn't God know that we are going to miss them too? Because the Bible says to us, he will satisfy us with long life. It says, the number of your days I will fulfill until you are satisfied with long life. Now, when we are not satisfied with long life, why would you say God has then taken the person? Because we know it is written in the Bible that it is appointed, it is given for men to live once and to die, and then it's judgment. But then it's also written that with long life he'll satisfy us. It is also written that God said he will not strive with men. The number of his days will be 120. So before it reaches 120, why are we satisfied with the theology and the idea that God has taken the best flower at 5 years of age? Why do we accept that because we say it's God? When God said 120, Satan comes and strikes at 4 years, and then we say still it is God. We give the benefit to the devil, and we make God to be a bad God before his people with the words that we say. Who is to be blamed when something is stolen? Who has done it? Who has done it? When someone is killed, who has done it? Is it God or is it the devil? When something is destroyed, who has done it? When you have life in abundance, who has done it? Because this word is telling us the difference between God and the devil. The difference between Jesus and the thief. The thief steals and kills and destroys. Once he has done that, why then do we put the blame in God? When he says, you will have abundant life. When the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, where is God? He is right where he was when you had life in abundance. We are quick to praise God when things are going well. And we are still quick to blame him when things go bad. When life is in abundance, it is Jesus. When things are stolen, it is Satan. It is the thief. There are two different characters. There is the thief and there is Jesus. And we have to put the blame in the right place. Because when we do that, we then are alive to these schemes of the enemy. When we see it coming, we stand and we say, no way, it's not again. You're not doing it here. You did it the last time. Maybe you found us off guard. But not this time. We embrace failure. We embrace trouble. We embrace pain. Because we're saying it is the will of God. The will of God is in his word. And his will is that we have abundant life. Praise God. Praise God. Of course, he did tell us that when you eat, when you are speaking to the man and the woman he created, he said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. God said that. It was men that ate the fruit because the serpent deceived them. And God did say that the dust will return to the earth as it was. And then the spirit will return to God who gave it. So the spirit goes willingly to God. But the flesh has gone to the dust because of the affliction on the flesh by the devil. Children of God, the Bible says to us, we have a good shepherd who came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Let's not blame God for the work of the devil. When Cain was angry because God had not accepted his offering, in the book of Genesis chapter 4 verse 6 to 7, God asked him, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So God said to Cain, you have the power to rule over sin. Sin desires you. Sin is sitting and waiting for you at the door. And that sin of Cain was killing his brother Abel. That sin of Cain was the jealousy, the anger that he had in his heart. And God said you should rule over it. If Cain ruled over his sin, which was the anger and the jealousy that he had over Abel, his brother, then he would not kill, you know, he would not have killed him. But he allowed sin to rule over him. Was it the will of God for Cain to kill Abel? No. Why then do we then say it was the will of God for Abel to die at the hands of his brother? Why are we saying this today? When a brother kills a brother, we say it was the will of God. When it was the will of God for Cain to rule over this sin, which would later be the sin of him killing his brother Abel. We're going back and forth with God. God is loving us kind. Today, tomorrow, he is willing that the sin of killing someone else should happen. And that person kills the person. And then we say it is God. We have a good shepherd that is loving. We have a good shepherd that is taking care of us. When David was running away from King Saul, who wanted to kill him, David had an opportunity to kill King Saul. So the sin of killing his own king was there, waiting for him. But David ruled over that sin. He said, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. Praise the Lord." 1 Samuel 24, verse 6. So David was able to stand and rule over the sin of him killing the anointed one of God. It was already written, "Touch not the anointed one of God. Make his prophets no harm." David did not do it. If he had done it, would we have said that it was the will of God? Saul died in his own sin. He was killed in his own sin. David did not allow that sin to happen. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39, the word of God says, "Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So in Christ we have a good shepherd. In Christ we have love. In Christ we have everything that we need. In Christ we have a loving shepherd. The word of God tells us that he is the one that goes before the sheep. He makes the way for the sheep. He is the one that sleeps at the door waiting for the enemy to come. And then he becomes the barrier between him, the animals or the sheep, the flock, and the thief that comes, or the animal that wants to kill the flock. We have sheep that, yes, they would wander around and they will be found by the wild animals and they will be killed. It is not the fault of the good shepherd. When the animals comes, maybe they found one that is at the back and exposed. They killed that one. It's not the fault of the shepherd. The good shepherd is always up and down, looking for the sheep, looking after the sheep, taking the sheep to green pastures, taking the sheep to places where they can rest. Psalm chapter 23. This good shepherd is Jesus. He laid his life down for us. Why would Christ die for us and then kill us at the same breath? Why would he do that? His ways are straightforward. He is the good shepherd. He enters by the door. If you are judged by God, it's very clear. He tells you, you are judged. The sheep of the Lord knows his voice and they follow him. Let us not give benefit to the devil when he does his own evil things, because then we get very far from being angry at him. We keep on embracing God with our tears and our blame and all of those things, and we leave the devil to do as he wishes. God wants us to stand up and fight. God wants us to raise the alarm and say, no, we cannot stand these things that the enemy is doing. We are not going to stand for it. We're going to stand against it. We're going to stand believing the word of God. We're going to stand for the kingdom of God. In him is salvation. In him is good pasture. In him is peace. In him is provision. In him is healing. In him is everything that we need. For he is the good shepherd. May you change your views about God and know him for who he is. Know God for who he is. Do not equate the works of the devil to God. He is a different kind of God. He's a loving God. You've lost your job. It was not the will of God. You lost your loved one. It was not the will of God. You lost your marriage. It was not the will of God. Fight the enemy. If you don't, you may lose again, over and over and over again. And you're busy blaming God for it. God has given us authority, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. He has given us the whole armor. And he's saying, stand, raise up the shield of faith. The enemy is going to come. He's going to come at you like the flood. He's going to come at you with his wiles. God is expecting you that you must stand against the enemy. How will we stand against the devil when we are saying it is God that has done it? We need to put the blame squarely on the devil. We need to say, you have done this thing. You're not going to do it again. We need to be alive to the schemes of the devil. We need to be alive to what he is doing on this earth. We're seeing it in the school ground. Children drunk in the school ground. Children killing teachers in the school ground. We need to be alive to these things. It's not God's will that a child will kill their teacher. It is not God's will that a husband will kill their wife. It's not God's will that a brother will kill their sister. It's not God's will. It's not God's will that you'll be poor and in poverty. It's not His will. His will is that you must have life and have it abundantly. If it is not abundant, it is not of God. Run away from it. Go to the abundance of God. For this reason, He came to destroy the works of the devil. He cannot destroy it if you keep on saying it is His own works. If it is of the devil and you attribute it to God, how will God destroy that works? Because He uses you to destroy the works. He wants you to speak His word over these works of the devil. He wants you to withstand the devil at all times. He has empowered us to withstand the enemy, and we must stand against him, the devil. And the good shepherd is with us. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. So keep fighting, child of God. The good shepherd is with you. Shalom. Thank you for listening to this episode of Word Anchor Podcast. I hope you are inspired and blessed by this message. Kindly share it with someone and spread the word. Continue to be anchored in the Word of God. Till next time, stay blessed.